The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel, and welcome to another fantastic edition of Late Night Reds Talk live here on the riverfront. And I am so excited to be joined by my good friends from the Locked On Reds crew, Stephen Offenbaker and Jeff Carr. What's up, fellas? How are you?
Doing great. Now that I'm back home out of airport purgatory.
Yeah.
Happy Easter and happy Rake Day to those who celebrate.
Absolutely. So I made the joke when the last Late Night Reds I did with Chad were like, you know, when you do the whole podcast thing, we do this thing where we pretend that like we didn't just talk to each other for a few minutes before we went live, right? But literally with Jeff, he literally did just hop on. So we can actually do like, that was me literally saying, hey, buddy, how are you? So that wasn't a shoot. That was real talk right there. So
slid in under the gun. Oh, yeah.
I guess it was a shoot in wrestling terms.
I will say that I'm having a little bit of a technical issue.
Here we go.
Tim, I'm seeing you on two screens. You're on one screen there and another screen down. It's weird. This is weird.
One person has a hat on, Steve. One person has a hat on. Okay. I know your eyes can't tell that.
I've actually never really asked you about this, Jeff, because I know like the day that it started happening where it blew up like a little bit in the Reds Twitter world that you were not around. So I'm sure you probably looked at your phone and was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I did see some mentions. I was like, what I do? I know I didn't say a win total today. Like, I don't know what happened. But yeah, no, that was kind of funny to catch up on all of that. So I'm flattered. I mean, you're a much better looking man than I am.
Well, you're very kind. I will not argue with you because I think the opposite. But anyway, I hope everyone had a great Easter. And like Jeff said, happy Rake Day for all of us who do celebrate. Obviously, a huge, huge win today for the Red Legs. Much needed 6-4 victory over the Phillies. Let's look at the week in review real quick, gentlemen. And a little bit of an up and down week, starting with Jason Vossler on Monday. Then you have another bullpen outing where they have a rough, rough seventh inning. Couple games postponed. Hunter Green has a rough second inning. Alexis Diaz looks bad for the first time in like 2.5 years in the ninth inning after he pitched really well in the eighth inning. And then, of course, you have today where the Reds had every reason to lose that game and they didn't. Right. But you can also make the case on Saturday they had every reason to win that game and they didn't. So this week, you know, we obviously touched on this in the Riverfront Thursday. If you were, you know, if you checked it out with me, Chad, and Nate, where we discussed the week so far, and we completely overreacted to the first 5 games of the baseball season, as Cincinnatians do. But hey, they're 4-4 now. The huge win today, and Jake Fraley for MVP, right, folks?
I love
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. You know, and really on your rundown there, I don't think we are overreacting over the first 5 games of the baseball season. And I don't think we're overreacting over the first 8. The Reds are 500 after 8 games and have more wins now than they had the entire first 25 games last year. You know, I tweeted this out earlier with the mission accomplished and the baby, you're doing the fist pump, right? Because already they're better now than they were last year. So we're moving in the right direction.
That's all you can ask.
And I love the fact, and I know obviously we'll talk about the ninth inning quite a bit here, but I still love the fact that Jason Vossler's going, man. He doesn't need singles. He loves him some total bases and some RBIs and that fun statistic of most RBIs without a single, and now he owns that record. So, you know, you'll be able to wow your friends at bars for years to come if you remember Jason Vossler's name past this season.
That's going to be in like 10 years, an edition of LNR Trivia. So I love for those who are tuned in for it every week, I promise next week I'm bringing LNR trivia back. I just Easter, my first Easter with my baby. So it was like with my daughter. So it was like a really busy, hectic day. But yes,
did
Eleanor
you dress
Trevier,
her up like a bunny? Did you
no, put the ears on her?
Oh, come on.
No. I told my wife that that's my cutoff. So, oh, hey, Chad's in the chat. Actually, shout out Chad. Chad and Steve both informed me that these guys have been friends for nearly 30 years. So that was really cool information that they provided to me today. Actually, in the past couple of days. So that was pretty cool to hear their story. Yeah, so let's talk about today. Obviously, a huge, huge win. Look, this is a game, like I said, so I made the joke yesterday's game. The Reds very well had every reason to win that game, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. Hey, they had every reason to lose that game, and they didn't. So Connor Overton, who I think we can all agree, I think, you know, maybe we can just say that the ship has sailed on the Connor Overton, you know.
What's the deal with his usage? Like, are they afraid to pitch him? I get it, like, third time through the order, the stats aren't great, but are we happier pitching the bullpen for 15 outs every fifth day? Like, I feel like just setting him up to face the lineup twice is a bad strategy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Especially so today, obviously not very good. 4 innings, 3 walks, 4 earned runs. Oh my God, gave up a tank of a homer. Oh, I don't know if that landed or not yet.
no, I don't think it did.
Kevin Newman
and he
has
was
that.
Living on that changeup, man. Like he got a couple of whiffs early on the low and inside changeup, and then he just kept going back to that well. It's like eventually somebody's going to figure that one out. Come on, dude.
Yeah, and then yeah,
My theory on Overton is that they're not really interested in stretching him out much more than he's already stretched out. I think he's got maybe one more turn in the rotation. They ask Luke Weaver to go 4 in the minors, and I know we're going to get to that a little bit later. Luke Weaver pitched 4 innings today of scoreless baseball. I imagine that another turn or two through the rotation, and he's going to take Overton's spot anyway. I don't think they're really interested in trying to stretch him out anymore.
That's a good point, Steven. That really is, because I don't think you're wrong in that circumstance. You know, I think Jeff brings a great point about, you know, are we sure we want to do this with having the bullpen try to get 15 outs every fifth day, especially this bullpen who we're all already have a lot of concerns about. We're already kind of trying to figure out what is what with this team. But look, you know, the bullpen today, Fernando Cruz, who I literally said when Joey Votto comes back might be the guy to get sent down. Really good today. 2 innings, 2 strikeouts. Jimmy Hergett, who just got called up this week.
Kevin
2
Hergett,
innings.
Not
Kevin.
Kevin. Jimmy's Hergett. In Los Angeles.
That's right. Too many Hergetts, all right?
Too many
One Hergetts, needs to go. Right. One needs to go. It's like me and Jeff. There's too many of them. Yeah.
Kevin's like way too normal, though. Like, remember Jimmy's got that weird delivery and the wonky curveball.
Right.
And Kevin Hergett's just like, yeah, I'm just a normal dude, man.
But Kevin Hergett gets called up this week. For Joe Kunal, and has 2 innings, gets the W, has a strikeout. And then Ian Jabeau, representing Great Britain, 2 strikeouts in the 9th inning. So obviously the bullpen head does their spot. But guys, let's talk about some of the little things this team did really well. And also, I forget to totally meant to mention, overcoming that scary-ass Kevin Newman error was, oh my God, we're like, that the bell bounced so weird. Look, I've said it a million times. I know we went through this forever with when the farm dog was here, who shout out the farm dog is playing really well in Minnesota right now. I like Kevin Newman. I'm not anti Kevin Newman, but Jose Barrera needs to play as much as possible. Yeah. You know, if he's not hitting, we at least know that he's not going to miss that ball at shortstop. And sorry guys. I don't know if you know this or not. But when we discuss Jose Barrera,
oh, a little Coming to America action here today.
I feel like if the explanation was he was just going to get a day off, like, sure, that's fine. But then he pinch runs later in the game. Like,
yeah, right.
Why wasn't he playing? He should have been playing.
I agree. I definitely agree. But let's talk about what the offense did today. Holy moly. So there's so many things in that 9th inning that are just like really, really impressive. And look, I know we're going to talk about Jake Fraley. I know we're going to talk about Jason Vossler. We're going to talk about Will Myers getting that double. But Stewart,
TJ Friedl.
Yeah. Stewart freaking Fairchild having two really good plate appearances. Steals the base to get in scoring position to be the tying run. Man, just like a great day offensively. Tyler Stevenson keeping his hit streak alive right now. T-Steve for the All-Star game this year. You guys, we're down.
No, I was there from preseason. I'm already all over that.
Yeah, I'm all in on T-Steve in the All-Star game. Spencer Steer looks really good. Yes, Sasslot, you are correct. The Phillies definitely had some weird mishaps on the base pass today, which were very laughable.
Which I follow a couple of Phillies outlets, and on Brandon Marsh, apparently the third base coach was waving him in. And
he
so
was
then
like
Brandon Marsh.
Line, yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Marsh like puts his head down, he's going, and as his head is down and he's going, the third base coach is like, oh, wait, no, I want to put up the stop sign. Can you imagine if J.R. House did that? How many people would be on Twitter just absolutely wanting to fire him on the spot and making sure he doesn't coach third base for another inning? Like, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. But yeah, so like, and like Jake Fraley, we can, you know, we've said it all along. Obviously, dude, since August, we've seen what this guy's done. One of the things that Nate proposed in Thursday's episode here of the Riverfront was, do you see a situation with Jake Fraley's an everyday at bat? I sold it for the sake of, I want to see him hit lefties more consistently, but he is making me eat a lot of crow right now, and I love everything about it. Team break for life, baby.
Dude is taking pitches. I love his at bats.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on board with him being an everyday player, righties, lefties. I don't care until such time that he proves that he shouldn't be in there, righties, lefties. So run him out there right now. It's not like the Reds really have a better option as far as a right-handed bat to start consistently out there. And let's see what happens. And if he performs and shows that maybe with some of the new rules and not quite as a dramatic shifting of players around on the infield, he can get on base versus left-handed pitching, well then, keep him out there. And if he shows that he can't, well, then either they'll bring up somebody from the minor leagues or Nick Senzel will finally at some point in time play Major League Baseball this season and he'll be out there. But, you know, play him until you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm absolutely with you.
I feel like coming into the season, they tried to structure the roster so that there was almost a right-hander for every left-hander in the outfield. And Nick Solak, Chad Pender, insert other right-handed people that they played in the outfield here, none of them worked. And the only guy that was even close to anything was Stuart Fairchild. And I just feel like David Bell was like, I wanted to have a platoon, but now I have to run a couple of lefties out there. But Fraley's look good against lefties. TJ Friedl is sneaky good against lefties. And I think the whole mantra of whenever a lefty's on the mound, we have to have a righty in the batter's box. There's a couple of guys that are finally starting to buck that trend.
Pat says he misses Pender. Chad Pender.
Are you an A's fan?
I don't think Pat is an A's fan. I hope not.
A's fans are the only ones that miss Chad Pender.
Yeah. Okay, before I get to my next point, this is really funny. I have to say, I wonder what he's been up to lately.
Well, we found Chad Dotson's burner, because that is definitely a Dotson burner. That's a Dotson joke, if I've ever heard one right there.
Huh?
He knows.
There we go.
There you go. So Chad's in the chat tonight, guys. He actually commented, Pat Magooch knows me too well. And now we see Pat is getting some great, great comments in the chat tonight. So this is what's beautiful. This is why you need to hang out with us live on Sunday nights before you go to work on Monday. So he said, shh. Will Myers today. So I know there's the two strikeouts, and I know he hasn't been what we've wanted him to be yet so far this year, but another guy today with three really big at-bats, three really big plate appearances. He has the double, two walks. You know, we are talking eight games into the season. You know, and I know it's a thing we got to kind of put like, hey, like, you know, I would love Will Myers to come out and hit 400. I really, like, we all would. But I thought today, like, you know, I know the strikeouts happen, especially with the kind of player he is, but he looked really good today. I'm going to be very happy with two walks and a double. You know, played first base when Boswell came in, when Barrero pinch ran. So, you know, I thought he was really, really, really big for the team today.
Yeah, I definitely think that he's starting to come along, and I was bummed when he struck out with the bases loaded there in that one, I think it was the sixth inning or something like that. But honestly, he's gonna get there. And right now, there's enough dudes hitting in this lineup to keep the lineup rolling. It feels like, you know, we're not relying on Will Myers. I think in the preseason we were looking at Will Myers as being like the third or fifth hitter or something like that on a consistent basis. And there's been, I mean, obviously Jake Fraley has stepped into that role, and I'm not worried about Jake Fraley batting third over Will Myers. So, you know, Will Myers can take a little bit more time getting into the season. And you're right, eight games, it's really hard to say that we know anything. As much as we would love to say we know that Tyler Stevenson is going to hit 380 the rest of the year, we can't say that. So what we know right now is probably going to be completely different at the end of May.
And it is a small sample size. And what Dotson was saying there in the chats is on point. Be patient. Will Myers is built to hit at Great American Ballpark, and Great American Ballpark doesn't play like Great American Ballpark until it gets hot and humid. So when we get into May, it'll be a different Will Myers batting in that ballpark. And I think that he's going to have some decent numbers this year. You know, I tell Jeff this all the time. We've been conditioned by football and basketball to expect instant results. And baseball's not built that way. You have to give it time. And we don't know anything about this team really until we get a month's worth of games. And then it's time to start questioning, well, is a guy going to come around or not? You know, the first series in, everybody's ready to give up on Will Benson. The first series in, everybody's ready to say that Will Myers is a bust. It's still very early. And time is going to tell us what we need to know, but we don't know anything yet.
Yeah. Shout out Will Benson getting a couple of nice at-bats this weekend. Like you said, Chad and I have been waving the Will Benson flag for weeks now. I know Mo has too. Mo's been pretty big on him as well. So
there's been a lot of people trying to jump off the bandwagon so quickly. And I'm like, oh, pump your brakes. He's going to start hitting here. And when he gets on base, that's the other thing, is we just haven't seen him on base a ton. That's really where the damage is going to be, because, I mean, we see what Friedel can do. We see what Jonathan India can do. I think Will Benson's a better base runner than anybody on the team. So that's going to be a lot of fun once he starts getting consistently on base, because it feels like right now when he's watching the ball, it's clipping a strike zone or the umpire's making a call that's not in favor of him. And when he's making hard contact, it's right at somebody's glove. It's just one of those things where the BABIP's going to play itself out. He's going to be fine. And we're going to start seeing what, you know, you guys, what Mo, and what, I mean, we're big Will Benson guys too, what we've all been talking about ever since the Reds traded for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of figure on that last point, Pat Magooch asks, will Myers be better? I think so. Yeah, I think absolutely. I think I think Steven brings up a great point. May in Great American Ballpark, when it starts creeping up into 80 degrees, those balls are going to be flying.
The month of Jay Bruce, some people call it.
Oh, God. 2011, May 2011, Jay Bruce was like, so I had season, that was
Hall
my first year.
At,
bro, my first, that was my first year I had season tickets for the Reds. And I was like, you know, obviously I was already enamored with them, but I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. So I loved it. Yeah. Let's talk about the week coming up real quick, guys, before we get into everything else. They make the old trip to the ATL. Welcome to Atlanta, where the Players play. And then they have a four-game set at home with the said Phillies. So we get all the Philly stuff out of the way. We get the Nick Castellanos reunion tour. Just take it away, you know, two-week tour dates. These Braves matchups are interesting for the pitching-wise. So Graham Ashcraft tomorrow against Bryce Elder. Luis Sessa against Kyle Wright in his season debut. But Wednesday night, that's the game, boys. That's the game. Hunter Green versus Spencer Strider. The young guns going head-to-head. Obviously, the Braves have had a little bit of up and down, just like the Reds so far this year. They are literally they're 6-3. I believe they are losing to the Padres right now 10-1 as we're talking. So there is that going for them. You know, obviously the Braves, I think, are going to be really good. I think they're going to be a contender in the National League this year. That division is insane between them and the Mets. And I'm not going to count the Phillies out yet, obviously. You know, Lord only knows what's going to happen when they get their guys back. But this is kind of a really fun week series. Obviously, I know Reds fans have a lot of vendettas against the Atlanta Braves. 1995, never going to let you go. But I always enjoy these games. I always enjoy seeing Ronnie Acuña play baseball because he's tremendous. But this is, might be the right time to hit the Braves, right? So, like I mentioned in these games, Bryce Elder has pitched about six innings so far in his first game. Kyle Wright has not pitched yet this year. Spencer Strider. He's awesome. No one's ever going to discount him. But they're without Michael Harris II right now. He's hurt. You know, they're the guys, their team is kind of going through a lot of transition. They're very good. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. But maybe this is the right time to play the Braves this year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I just, you'll get to hear my whole victory lap about this on Monday's Locked on Reds. But apparently I have been brought on as a pitching consultant for the Reds. You may not know this, but
we did an episode, Steve. I texted you what the right term is.
Oh, I'll have to check. I had blocked you.
You're the shadow manager of the Cincinnati.
I'm the shadow manager. That's right. So we did an episode last week, Tim, where I outlined a plan for trying to protect this bullpen a little bit. And it was a reorganization of the rotation coming off of those back-to-back rainouts where they had an opportunity to split up the big three in an effort to not have Overton and Sessa pitching back-to-back and protect the bullpen a little bit. And then the next day they came out and did it. So I'm convinced that Nick listens to the show. Nick Craw, shout out to Nick, was listening and took my advice to heart. And I am now the shadow, at least pitching coach for the Cincinnati Reds.
I like it, yeah, Steven.
Yeah, and I love the way that this kind of fell that, you know, Hunter Green's going to pitch against Spencer Strider because they're essentially the same pitcher. In fact, yeah. Spencer Strider did the thing where he's like, I'm a fastball and a slider pitcher, and why would I ever try to add a third pitch? Like, could you imagine what Reds country would have been like? What would your guys' reaction have been if Hunter Green came out and said, whenever people were like, he needs to add a changeup to be elite, and he's like, why would I do that? Why would I add another pitch to this repertoire when I got my two best pitches and I'm throwing my two best pitches? Like, could you imagine the response to that?
So, Pat actually said, and I'm gonna answer your point, Steve.
Thanks, Pat.
Jeff. But Pat said he misses Aloha Friday, Steven. If you're not tuned in, Steven is rocking an Aloha shirt today, but it's for the University of Hawaii. Is it the university or just the state?
University of Hawaii.
Okay, cool. Shout out the Hawaii football team.
Warriors, baby.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm with Jeff. So look, if I can get guys out, I'm not worried about Hunter Green. I'm not.
No.
I think, like, you know, the two games, you know, look, the Pirates game, would I like to see him attack that lineup better? Yes, because obviously it's the Pirates. And God, look, we all know how I feel about the Pirates. Though I'm very bummed O'Neill Cruz got hurt today. That sucks.
Day to be a Pirate, that's for sure.
Yeah, because he's
Can we talk about that for just a second? Just, I know it's totally unrelated, but for the benches to clear after that was absolutely ridiculous. There was no malice. There was no ill intent.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it was a bad slide from O'Neill Cruz. If you really, with a clear mind and without a decision made already, if you can just go look at the film, it was a bad slide. And it's a bad break, both literally and figuratively, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But it wasn't done on purpose. In fact, they threw the bat out of the way. They were trying to make sure that nobody got hurt. And it's just ridiculous that the bench is cleared. And it just was silly.
It was silly. I agree. But that's the Pirates. That's what they do.
Yeah, they haven't cleared a bench in a long time.
Shout out to Clint Hurdle.
They were missing it, yeah. Clint Hurdle was the shadow manager of the Pirates that day.
Yeah. They're a fourth world franchise. So fourth world franchises do fourth world franchise things. Bums. I heard Nate said he's going to do a Tim Hates Pittsburgh shirt on the Riverfront website. So, everyone should buy it when it comes. Yeah.
I can think of an opportunity I have to wear that.
Jeff brings a great point though. So I agree, you know, Spencer Strider, Hunter Green, very similar guys. Like, look, I don't need a changeup. I don't need a curveball. You know, I have the fastball and I have a slider. And when I locate my fastball, I am very, very unstoppable. And both dudes, mirror images as far as like that's a process. So it's going to be unique. It's going to be a really fun game. We're going to see these guys probably go against each other for 15 years, probably, you know, the way pitchers age right now. Clayton Kershaw's like 96 years old, winning, you know, contending for Cy Young's. Justin Verlander, the same thing. So if these guys end up being those two, which is a very big stretch, I'm well aware as I say this, I'm very excited for that. But yeah, I'm stoked for that game. Then you got the Phillies coming here. Mm-hmm. Is it wrong of me? And I shouldn't say this because I don't dislike the guy. But is it wrong of me that I really enjoyed Nick Castellanos striking out in the ninth inning? Like, I really, really liked it.
It was that was a great at bat for Ian Gibeault, the way that he played that. And the way that he struck out, just looking at a fastball right down the middle. Like, if I were a Phillies fan, I was throwing things at that point. Like, come on, man.
I'm a Castellanos fan up until the moment they play the Reds. He was great while he was here. I like the energy he brought. I like the attitude that he brought.
I loved Ryan.
And when the Phillies are playing anybody else, as long as it doesn't matter to the Reds, then I'm all for Nick Castellanos going perfect at the plate, hitting the ball every time, catching every ball hit his way. Great. But when they play the Reds, I hope he strikes out every single time. I hope he drops every ball that they hit towards him. I hope he continues to look silly up against the wall when he can make the catch. I want all of those things to continue to happen.
That was a tough look. That was a tough look on that field.
Canseco'd it. He almost Jose Canseco'd it. You're right. Off the top of his dome. It almost happened.
All right, so Sam Patterson is just going to get a pinned comment here until someone comes up with something that's valuable to the conversation. But I just 1,000% agree with this. Nate Dotson, if you're watching, this is the t-shirt. This is the t-shirt. If you can get to be the Pirates logo, like, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Let's talk some transactions, guys. Obviously, some, nothing crazy over the top here, but Bennett Souza was designated for assignment this week, part of the Hurgit move and the Joe Kunal portion there. But moved to Milwaukee, which I'm not the guy that gets mad about people being moved within the division. Like, whatever. You know, I know everyone's like, Jesse Winker went to the Brewers. Like, he was traded by the Mariners, guys. He wasn't traded by the Reds. Like, let's get over it.
And that is what it is. You know, I was more surprised by the fact that for whatever reason, C. Trent was kind of playing defense for the Reds today. You know, with the comments on Twitter, everybody was worked up about, you know, the Reds trying to save money. And this wasn't a money saving move. Souza had been put on waivers. He was going to go somewhere. So this way they get a little bit of cash back in the deal. So they got something out of nothing here, guys. I mean, am I saying that Castellini's going to reinvest this money? No, but they got something for nothing for free. So, hey, good job.
That was the just knee jerk reaction. They see, oh, they're getting cash. What, they don't need cash? Why are they getting cash for? That must be a money grab. Like, they were never going to use Bennett Souza. He sucked in the spring training, so I don't think that's going to be something that he fixes all of a sudden in the regular season. And Alex Young has been fine. I kind of like Alex Young as the second lefty.
Alex Young had a sub-3 ERA last year. Souza had a 8+ ERA last year. So it's pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah. Let's also not forget, guys, say what you will about the Reds organization. Pretty darn good luck at international cap spendings. So,
yeah,
you know, has not hurt the franchise when you look at, I don't know, Aroldis Chapman, Raisel Iglesias, Elly De La Cruz. Like, this is good for them. This is good for them. Okay. Here it comes. Here it is. Here it is.
Well, clearly nobody could understand him. He talked funny, so they had to get rid of him.
Probably the last time he was good, too.
Oh, man. Jeff, I know we look alike, but I'm supposed to be the one that has beef with Chad, not you. Like,
no, that's cool. Chad's first guest I ever had when I was hosting Lockdown Reds solo, so I'm happy with Chad. Always happy with Chad.
Yeah, that's my guy. And then Lucas Sims and Luke Weaver sent in rehab assignments. Steven mentioned earlier, Luke Weaver threw four really good innings for Louisville this week. So obviously really kind of excited. We're getting guys back. And I think that's what we were all looking for at this point with as far as the bullpen. I don't know. You know, there's obviously the TJ Antone issues. We know we're not seeing Justin Dunn this year. So we're going to
And Tony Santion's down there on a rehab as well. So there's two very big boosts to this bullpen that are not very far away. So as bad as the bullpen's been to start the season, or as inconsistent as the bullpen's been to start the season, there are upgrades coming.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted to make sure. So I'm excited for that. This is going to be a really, really good, really good time. Let's talk about some of the news and the transactions going on in the world right now in the Reds. I should say injury updates, because we just did transactions, didn't we? I'm messing up my own segments. All right, guys. So first off, before we get into this, yes, I know that Reds first base prospect Joey Votto ripped a really nice 2-run double yesterday. That guy's got a lot of potential when the Reds call him up. I'm sure it'll be pretty soon, because he's just ripping the ball, so there's no way they can't give him a shot. But I wanted to make sure we talked about some of the good news going on in the injury updates, and we'll, of course, get to some of the not as good in that situation as well through the system. L.A. De La Cruz and Christian Encarnacion Strand have resumed baseball activities. So,
that's good.
Jeff, since you are relatively close to me, road trip to Louisville soon?
Yeah, I'm down for that. I do want to see them play, and I mean, I think Senzel will probably still be there for a bit, and Santillan as well. So we might be seeing like most of what the Reds roster is going to look like in a month in Louisville.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what happens when those guys get going. Obviously, Louisville's a lot of fun right now. Oh, yes. So you're right. Votto wearing a Viking helmet. I saw that he tweeted he's the thing he's looking forward to the most. That was a great Q&A. We all deserve. We don't deserve Joey Votto, do we, guys? He's just wonderful. Luke Weaver with four innings of really good ball for Louisville. Like we mentioned, four innings, four strikeouts, and had two walks. And then Nick Senzel, holy moly. He's doing the whole thing why we can't quit him, where we're like, we really should give up. Nick Senzel's the bad girlfriend, right? Where it's like, you see everything on the table, where it's like, oh, you know, she takes my money. Oh, she's so mean to my family, and she's so rude. But you're like, and she's like, but baby, I can change. And you're like, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, 3-for-4 yesterday. That was, I don't know. Like,
this is.
I tell Jeff, the
camp that I'm in, and I tell Jeff this, and it's just, I feel like the safe way to approach Nick Senzel moving forward is that I have zero expectation for him to contribute anything to the Cincinnati Reds. That being said, if he can find his way to the major league roster and do anything productive at all, well, that's just a bonus. It's not expected. It's a little gift. And if he only comes up and stays healthy for 50 games, but plays decent in those 50 games, it's a little gift. And that's just how I'm going to look at it for however long he continues to be in Cincinnati.
Well, Sam, I do. So if Sam Patterson mentioned he had an ugly error in center field yesterday. He played third base the day before. He's playing second base some days. Apparently, at spring training, he was taking some shortstop action. I don't think he knows what position he's playing anymore. I think he's just kind of rolling out there.
The Reds don't know.
Yeah, the Reds don't know either. So that's okay. You know what? That's okay.
They now list him on the roster as an infielder/outfielder, which means the only position we know he's not going to play is catcher and pitcher. Maybe. Yeah.
Never say never.
Catcher's in the infield, so.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Has he taken ground balls at first base yet? So, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that out loud.
I want to see Nick Senzel succeed, but I'm just not expecting. And without risking sounding like too much of a downer, Aristides Aquino and Jose Barrero hit well at Triple A too.
Don't go there. You said the name.
Sorry.
You said the name.
So is that like a trip mine? You say his name and then that happens?
So Carlos over spring training tweeted, like it was one of those Barrera homers. So he tweeted, that's my shortstop, #SoulGlow. And me being me, I was like, I got to turn this into a gimmick. So sure enough, I did.
Jeff, do you even know what that's from?
Coming to America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said it puzzled, so I was a little worried, yeah. But I'm glad you got it right. So,
Steve, you said it earlier in the show. Otherwise, I would not.
Well, you don't listen to me, so that doesn't really mean anything.
So some of the comments I want to get to before we talk about a few other things. Pat, who's obviously like, if you're not here hanging out with Pat on Sunday nights, you're doing it wrong. Pat's the best. Senzel's the best 30-year-old rookie I've ever seen, kinda. Very funny. I like it. How about Redbeard Breaks, which sounds like I'm going to buy into some of your breaks because I'm a big card guy myself. Calling it Spencer Steer 30 homers. That homer yesterday was who doggy.
Big stuff. I got a future on him to win Rookie of the Year. Future on him to win Rookie of the Year. So,
what were the odds?
We'll see. I think I got it at plus 1,200.
So, 1,200?
Yeah.
That's worth it. That's absolutely worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Ronnie Snyder, who, welcome to the chat. I think this is the first time I've seen your name pop up, Ronnie. Friedel's going to be very, very valuable to this team. If he can continue to put the ball down with the bunch, he can go yard too. Arez has not had anyone in years like him. I think, like, TJ Friedel is everything we wanted Drew Stubbs to be, is what I kind of feel right now. And that's not a knock on Drew Stubbs. Like, I was a big Drew Stubbs guy. Mm-hmm. Got to sign Drew Stubbs baseball back here hanging out, folks. I mean, so have I ever told you about the wall of unfortunate baseballs?
No.
Oh, bro. This thing back here is hilarious. It was Chad I was telling about that. There's literally like a John Rocker baseball in there. My aunt got me when she lived in Atlanta.
Oh, my.
Nice. And I was like, you know, do you know anything about him? She's like, no, what about him? I was like, okay. Mm. So
thanks.
Maybe that'll be a giveaway in LNR trivia. Mystery baseball bags.
Get a John Rocker signed ball. Yeah. I had a streak for like 3 years. I would get a signed ball at Reds Fest from somebody and they'd be traded in like a month. It was like Dan Straley, mm-hmm. or guys who just didn't pan out. Sal Romano.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him in Ellie De La Cruz's line at Reds Fest last year. I wouldn't let him go.
I got a Logan Andrusik back here, buddy. I understand.
Yep.
Yeah. But you know, talking about TJ Friedel, one of the things about him is he's the kind of player that Cincinnati loves to embrace. I talked about this on the show last week. You know, he's out of that Ryan Friel, Scooter Jeanette, when he was good Scooter Jeanette here, that blue collar, nose to the grindstone, whatever it takes to get on base and help the team kind of guy. And, you know, as the comment said, he's laying down the bunt, he's hitting for power, he's hitting against lefties. He's kind of doing all of the things that we may not have necessarily expected from him. And he has played his way into being, you know, as Jeff's point was last week on the show, the everyday center fielder. You know, he's playing his way into being the guy. And, you know, good for him. You know, I would have never called that at the beginning of the season.
No. And what he does, too, is just so missed, I think, in this lineup, because yes, he does have the power. He can go yard when he gets a hold of him, but also he just puts the ball where they ain't. Like that hit that he had, the infield hit that he had in the ninth inning was so clutch. Huge. Because he put it just right perfectly in between the third baseman and the shortstop that, I mean, they weren't going to have any play anywhere no matter what they did. Even if the shortstop picked that up and the third baseman held his ground at the base, he still wasn't getting the lead runner. So that was
That hole there? Why was that hole where it was? Because they were playing in, they thought he was going to bunt. So it's his game. He's doing everything right now.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Ronnie is bringing it today in positivity. I love the vibes, Ronnie. The Reds were a couple of mistakes with being 7-1. I totally agree. He says, Hunter Green has been the biggest disappointment so far. I got to think he'll turn it around. We've touched on it all. We definitely think he's going to turn it around. Like I said, each game's been just one ending they got away from him. So when he puts that together.
And listen, Hunter Green
is 22. Look,
here's the hot take is Hunter Green's not the best pitcher on this staff. He wasn't the best pitcher on this staff to start the season. He wasn't the best pitcher on this staff last season. That's Nick Lodolo. And for marketing reasons, for, you know, ability to speak to the media reasons, they have kind of put Hunter Green forefront out there because he is a little bit more charismatic when he's talking to the media. He is a little bit more charismatic when he interacts with the fans. So I get why the Reds are doing that. But at the end of the day, Nick Lodolo is the best pitcher on this team. So if we're going to talk about measuring sticks, you know, Hunter Green turning it around, yeah, but you know, he's got a long way to go to be the ace of this staff because this team already has an ace. And I think we should embrace that a little bit more.
I'm with it.
Yeah, Yeah, that was a beautiful game. And I know that there were a lot of folks, Steve included, that really hated the fact, and I hated the fact that they lost that game too, but I thought they were coming out of this series with one win. And they came out of this series with one win. So I'm not disappointed with how they played in Philadelphia. I'm just not going to be. I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I did a crime not even talking about Nick Lodolo's day yesterday. That was unbelievable. Seven innings, 12 strikeouts.
You got to love that, man.
Had like Edmund Sosa falling, swinging at pitches. Like, rules.
And that's a good lineup. That's not the Pirates. That's not the Cubs. Like, the Phillies have a lineup that has probably three or four All-Stars in it whenever Bryce Harper comes back healthy. And obviously he didn't pitch to Bryce Harper, but Trey Turner. I mean, the top of the lineup was shut down by Nick Lodolo. It was beautiful.
When you can get a guy to strike out on a pitch that hits him, you are dealing. You know, you are absolutely dealing when you can make that happen. And and what Lodolo did in that start was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I'm excited to see him this week against, you know, against the Phillies again, see what adjustments are made, because, you know, they're going to look at that tape and be like, this is where he got us. The first thing is going to be like, if a ball, I bet you the first thing in the scouting report is, if a ball hits you, don't swing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's probably like number one for
that's
him.
That's good baseball advice. That's solid coaching.
Yeah. Steve and I, as a phantom coaching staff members of major league teams, you know, we feel like we've got some good conversation here. And as far as TJ Friedl goes earlier, the theme of the show, obviously for me, the only flaw in TJ Friedl is he's from Pittsburgh. So other than that, I like
nobody's perfect.
Yeah, you know. Well, other than that, we can let it slide.
Cross-sport reference, so is Tyler Boyd. Love him, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I don't see Tyler Boyd being a Pirates fan. Hopefully not. No, I'm sure he is, but, you know, whatever. Not as fun injury news is Dayton yesterday getting hit with a couple things that weren't very fun. Edward Arroyo, shout out my guy Carrick Melvin, gave me the info that he's like in with a lot of friends there in Dayton. Sounds like he's going to be okay, just kind of getting used to playing in cold weather. And then but the Jay Allen thing does not sound very promising. So if you didn't see, Jay Allen yesterday left the game early holding his wrist, making like not putting any pressure on it. So that does not sound very good. And nothing's been announced yet as far as what it's going to be, but was replaced in the game in the first inning. I don't think he played today in Dayton. So not very exciting news there for a really talented Jay Allen player like that. But the good news does sound like it sounds like Edwin Arroyo is going to be okay. But Dayton getting hit with some really unfortunate bad news and back-to-back in the same game.
And you got so much talent there. And I think isn't Bryce Petty, he's kind of coming back a little bit from
something. He's coming back.
And
yeah.
It feels like the Dragons are a little bit of a microcosm of the major league side, where they're like, yeah, we got a couple of guys that we're really excited about once they come back. And I'm a little bit bummed personally, because there'll be a Dragons media day tomorrow and Jay Allen was supposed to be in attendance. I'm guessing he won't be after that. So I was hoping to get to meet him and talk to him a little bit. But yeah, that's tough too, because he's a guy that I feel like has still a little bit to prove before he really starts taking that next step, and before we can really start, you know, listing him as a guy to look out for here in the future. Because I think we're like tentatively looking at a guy like Jay Allen, like, yes, he's got a lot of talent. He just hasn't really shown it that much. Yeah. And I know that, you know, Tom Nichols was very bullish on his leadership ability in the locker room last season. So I was hoping that this would kind of be the year that he breaks out. But yeah, it sounds like that's going to be a bit of a tough injury, and he might miss a significant portion with it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But I you know, hopefully it does require soon. So Sam, you're right. TJ Friedl is from Nevada, so, but he sounds like he was born in Pennsylvania. But, you know, Sadak, who never tells a lie, said he goes to Steelers games in the offseason. So I gotta trust my guy Johnny Boy there, because he would never let me down. He would never tell me. He would never tell me anything else. I like that shirt, by the way. That's pretty solid.
It's a good shirt. Sensi shirts rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, like I said, Ronnie bringing it tonight in the positivity. I absolutely love it. I want to talk about this real quick. Another thing I forgot to put in there before we get out of here. How about the way Chattanooga won yesterday? Wasn't that like insane?
No hitter and they win. No hitter, and they were down three, and they win with one out to play. Like, so many different things were against them to the point where it makes no sense that they won, but baseball's gonna baseball, and there's a reason that there's three outs in an inning and not two.
Yeah, that was amazing. So for those who didn't see, they were no hit yesterday and won. Not like when the Reds lost to the Pirates last year, 1-0, and Hunter Green had a no hit game going. This was literally like 7. Was it seven to five?
Yeah,
they scored like on and like Chattanooga had a tweet of how it happened, and it was like amazing. Was like the score sheet. So let me read it off real quick. Let me find the tweet real fast for her. I keep you guys up.
And oh, by the way, one of the pitchers who did this, Ben Joyce from Tennessee.
Oh,
everybody's favorite prospect last year, I think, in the draft anyway.
So let me find it real fast.
And shout out, I used to live in Huntsville. Now they were the Huntsville Stars whenever I lived down there. And I got to see, it was a minor league matchup. This is when the Blue Wahoos were the Reds' AA affiliate. Billy Hamilton on the Blue Wahoos, Scooter Jeanette, and Tucker Barnhart on the Huntsville Stars. Or Tucker Barnhart was on the Blue Wahoos, and then Scooter Jeanette was on the Huntsville Stars because he was in Milwaukee's farm system. That was a nice little five-game set there in the city of Huntsville before they were the Rocket City Trash Pandas, which is a much better name.
Who also were the team that Chattanooga played yesterday. Yeah. So, 7-run inning, 5 walks, 4 hit batters, 1 error and 1 wild pitch is how they won.
And the error was egregious because I was reading, I was reading Doug's recap of this on resminorleagues.com, and it was like a can of corn that the center fielder just was like, oh, can't catch it.
It was pretty awesome. let's take a couple more comments here and then I'll finally let you guys go. I keep like feeling like I'm keeping you guys up late, but I forget Steve's in Hawaii. So he's like, yeah, you know.
Bro, it is. We're pushing 4 o'clock here, man.
Yeah. So,
he's got to go to bed in 2 hours.
Yeah, I understand. The obvious question everyone's going to ask here and kind of get your guys' thoughts. We talked about it a little bit Thursday. This has been asked multiple times. Who's going to get sent down when Joey comes back? Jason Vossler's been too good to be sent down.
Be awesome.
I think, you know, Chad said this the other day, and I made the joke of Fernando Cruz because I was like, you know, who are you going to send down on the hitting side of it? But I think at this point, they both said Will Benson. I think it might be Will Benson, and you just kind of get some bats underneath them, get his confidence back a little bit, come back up in a couple weeks, get back to take the spot that's yours. Because, like, you know, TJ Friedl's not going down.
No.
Jason Vossler's definitely not going down. His slug's got to be like 44,000 at this point, right? So,
yeah, I was trying to think about this, and I know that me and Steve have talked about this a few times already as well. Like, the only two I figure it would be between, because the Reds love to keep themselves 13 pitchers on the roster, it's between Will Benson and Stuart Fairchild at this point. And I think that the Reds are going to be like, why would we send down a right-handed hitter and bring up a left-handed hitter? Like, they're going to put the, you know, hashtag analytics on that one. So not that that's analytics at all. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I could see it being my dude. Could see it being Will.
Fairchild and Benson are both going to be playing for Louisville by the end of the month. They're going to send one of them down to make room for Votto, and they'll send the other one down to make room for Senzel when the time comes. And that's just kind of how that's going to play out. So with what you're saying, though, Jeff, I think Benson will be the first to go just based on handedness. They'll send the lefty down first. But, you know, then the question becomes, you know, where do you play Vossler? You corner outfield from time to time? Do you...
He plays third mostly, so he could play a kind of platoon with Spencer Steer a little bit, but I don't know that you need to platoon Spencer Steer.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I'm not platoon, but I'm waiting for this whole grandiose roster shuffle, the daily roll of the dice where guys are going to play that at some point in time David Bell is going to do. I think we'll see Spencer Steer in a corner outfield here and there. Jose Barrero, more trips to center field. And I said the name, damn it. But I think there's a time coming where guys are going to be at different positions on the daily. There's not going to be these defined positions outside of a few players like Votto, like India. And even at that, I would play India in some left field if the opportunity presented itself. So I'm kind of looking forward to that just to see how creative he gets.
Mm. Yeah, I am too.
I think we didn't mention Barrero as a potential cut candidate. I think just out of like default, but
yeah,
I mean, does he have options? I can't remember if he has another option.
Nope. Okay, this is do or die year for him.
Yeah, it won't be him. It won't be him then. Okay.
Yeah, this is the do or die year for Jose Barrero. Not just because Matt McClain and Ellie De La Cruz are knocking on the door, but which Matt McClain, apparently a lot of people are talking about possibly being a center fielder at some point too. So
he is a center fielder.
It's true.
He played center field.
Talking
for
to the guy that's championing this idea. Yeah.
So I think he should be playing center field in Cincinnati right now, today.
I'm a big Matt McClain guy, so yeah. I'm excited for that. So I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Like a word. TJ Friedel would like a word. Yeah. I'm on the bandwagon, man. I love what TJ Friedel does. I wanted Will Benson to be that everyday guy, but just how well TJ Friedel has played in that spot, you can't take him out. And he's batting well in this two spot in the lineup. Like, they're not hiding him. They're not putting him down at the bottom. Like, he is a productive member of this lineup right now. You can't – right now, I cannot foresee anybody, even Will Benson, taking his place.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Well, dudes – you know, I always love hanging out with you. We don't do this together enough, honestly.
Yeah,
I think you guys do a great job. I've told you both this. I'm a big fan of your guys' work. So I'm so excited to always work with you guys. Before we get out of here, and I know that anyone who listens to Reds Baseball Podcast listens to you guys, but if there's anyone for some reason or another who doesn't know about Locked On Reds, tell them how to get their podcast, to get your guys' podcast, where to listen, and also how often you guys do that little thing where if you're a little busy if you're free in the afternoons, you want to tune in, check them out live on the YouTube.
Go get it, Jeff.
Well, as far as Aloha Friday, unfortunately, that's more of just an off-season deal, but we will have like some pregame lives and things like that coming up as the season goes along. But you can catch us every single day, Monday through Friday, on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Check us out at Lockdown Reds on YouTube. And then you can follow us on Twitter in between shows at S. Offenbaker for Steve, and then at Jeff Carr with 3 F's for me.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. So next week, LNR Trivia does make its return. Prizes are up. If you guys are tuning in, as you know, I give away some of my Reds personal memorabilia collection every week for the Reds trivia question. And I'm very excited to have all of our good friends on this week's next week's show. Ken Huber, known on the Twitter world as Obscure X Reds. We're going to do the Obscure X Reds fantasy draft next week. So you'll want to tune in for that one, guys, because it's going to be a lot of fun. On behalf of everyone here at the Riverfront, yes, like these guys, follow them everywhere. Follow us at Riverfront Cincy. Follow me at TimDaniel518. And look, dudes, join the Patreon. It's a lot of fun. It's a great family. The Slack channel, it's through the roof and joy every week. We have so much fun interacting with you guys all the time. So patreon.com/RiverfrontCincy. It's not going to break the bank. Come hang out with us every day. We love to have you. Take it easy, everyone. We'll see you next week.